the Psalms now. We're going to go to Psalms 40 today. And we are richly blessed as we make our way through the Word of God. What a word. David said, I love you, Lord, for your rule, your law, your statute, your commandment. That sounds so strange and so different from most all of your biblical characters. But David found that you are introduced to God, and your experience in relationship with God is totally dependent upon and contingent upon this Word of God. If you don't know the Word, you don't know Him. You can't know Him. Well, praise God. Which is evidenced by the fact that every drunk on every bar stool in Birmingham will tell you they know God. That's right. Psalms 40, the first three verses, everyone say, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. And many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Somebody shout, he has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. And many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. God bless you. You can be seated. Let's give him praise and thanks for his word. As you're seated this morning, come on, high praise for the word of God. High praise for his delivering word. For a word that makes a way where there is no way. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Well, it's happy birthday to New Life. It was 1987, January the 1st, that we had our first official New Life service. There was an embryonic movement before that, but we were officially beginning as a church in 1987, January the 1st. And Brother Corey, Brother Jerry Isbell, and a handful of folks, and my little girls, and Sister Sutton, we gathered at that old storefront there in Leeds and started shouting and opening the book and praying and singing and believing God. And sometimes, and I have been fearful to sit down and to compile a list of all those that have come through the doors, because we have touched literally thousands of lives, and we have seen hundreds upon hundreds receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and go down in the water in Jesus' name. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And as it is in the kingdom of God, there are more that receive it than they that will live it in the end. And there are more that start the race than those that finish it. And consequently, there are more people in this city that have had past tense the Holy Ghost than those who have it currently and fervently right now. There are more people in this city that have lived for God at some point in the past than those that are presently living for God right now. Praise God. And just for a minute now, I'm going to put up the shovel and quit digging the pit here in just a moment. And I don't want to make you depressed before we get started. But the stark reality is that many are called, but few are chosen. The way to destruction is broad. It's a wide gate. The way into life everlasting is a narrow way. The gate is not a wide thing. Few, he says, be those that enter therein. My God, we sound like an endangered species. I balance that with the fact that when John sees his church on the other side, He puts down his pad and his pen. He can't count them. He said, there's a crowd there no man can number. I balance that with the fact that I believe that we're standing at the door of the greatest revival that the world, the church, has ever known. But all things held in tension, I've gone down to the graveyard with Bible studies that didn't heed the word of God. I've preached sermons over men that I knew were lost. You see, we don't do that here. We don't just pat everybody on the back and say, everybody's saved. I'm okay, you're okay, you live like you want. There is a moral expectation in the heavens. If there is a God, then there is a moral expectation. And you can't just live any way you want to live. And you can't just do anything you want to do. But there is a rule and a law for the day that we live in. Praise God. And as it has been in every dispensation, there is a way to be right with God. A plan. If you were in the day of Noah, then you needed to be on the boat or you were lost. If you were in the day of Abram, you had to be in his household and circumcised or you were lost. If you were in the day of Moses, you had to be there under that cloud and under that fire and live by the law of God and by the rule of Moses, or you would be like Korah and his household, swallowed up by the earth and lost. And in this great apostolic day, Peter stood on the birthday of the church and he said, repent. That means you can't go on living like you are. God loves you like you are, but you can't keep on living like you are. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. I don't care what the commentary says. The Apostle Peter said, it's not till you go down in the water in Jesus' name that your sins are going to be washed away. And he said, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I was raised up in a place that didn't even talk about the Holy Ghost, much less receive it. But I'm glad somebody pulled me over to the side and said, this promise is for you and your children and those that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. There's a way today to be right with God. It's just like they got it in the book of Acts. You can get that today. Praise God. But over 19 years here in this new life work in Birmingham, we have seen hundreds and hundreds of lives come through these altars now. Thousands would not be an exaggeration at all. Come through these altars and be touched by the Word of God and by the Holy Ghost. And I give God thanks for those that are still standing, those that are still living for God. I am sobered by those that have fallen by the wayside and have sought to pursue some other thing. And given experience in the kingdom, and given the nature of the flesh and of the carnal mind, it would be easy to fall into a trap. It would be easy to fall into a cynical state of mind where you were so inured by the bad behavior of people that you just lost all hope for mankind. It would be so easy to become a pessimist in dealing with people about spiritual values and about the Word of God. My God, by this time, having read the history of the Word of God, I would expect God to be a cynic. Go on and do what you want to do. I'll see you at the judgment. I would expect God to be a pessimist, but I don't find that in the Word of God. Where I find the cynic and where I find the pessimist is in that ex-son of the morning. He used to walk among the heavenlies and he used to be the son of the morning. And he used to sing the songs of God's praise. But he fell by his own arrogance and his own ego. And in him, I find a voice that wants to pull you to the side and say, there's no use fooling with this. It's just people, and people are always going to fail you. You can't depend on anybody. I tell you, the rule of life is to don't have any expectations. That way you won't ever be disappointed. Have low expectations, and you'll have low disappointment in your life. That's the song of Satan that he'd like to sing to you. And he'd like to tell you this year is going to be just like last year and the year before that. And this year is going to be a loss. And don't expect people to rise up. And don't expect teenagers to be anything but teenagers. And don't expect old married folks to be anything but old married folks. And just get yourself a good, hard, rock, pessimistic, cynical attitude and walk through life like that. And life won't hurt you so bad. But that's the voice of hell. That's not the voice of God. That's the voice of your enemy that wants to steal from you the fact that God's mercies are new every morning, and that hope is always a component of our relationship with God, and that where God is involved, there's always something better, something richer, something deeper, something stronger. Somebody say praise the Lord. The truth of the matter is God loves mornings. God loves beginnings. And so many times throughout the wreckage of humanity, throughout the Word of God, God steps in and doesn't throw up his hands and walk away. God says, I'm going to make a new beginning. You might not have done it right this time, but I'm going to have a new beginning. I'm going to offer you a brand new start. A lot of your lives look like Friday nights. Calvary's crosses, an abandonment of friends, surrounded by enemies. But I thank God that in the Word of God, there's always a Sunday morning. There's always a morning. The ladies came. The ladies came to celebrate the death. The ladies came to mourn the loss. The ladies came to put something sweet on the stink of that disaster on Friday night. But when they got there that morning, it was in the morning that the angel came. It was in the morning that God kicked the door off of that tomb. It was in the morning that he rose again, never to taste of death. Overcoming death and hell and the grave and saying there's going to be a new beginning. I'm going to do a new thing. Somebody say praise the Lord. On the day that Peter challenged his generation in Acts 2:38 to repent and be baptized in Jesus' name and to receive the Holy Ghost, stood before the first 3,000 that would come into the covenant of God for this dispensation. It was on a Sunday morning. It was in the early morning hours. The day of Pentecost was fully come, and they were all together. They were in one mind. They were there, and it was morning time, and they had been through a lot of changes, and they couldn't make head nor heel of it all, and they were wondering if he was still going to set up a socio-political government on the earth, and they were asking about that in Acts chapter 1. But in Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost was come, it was a brand new day. It was a brand new morning. Something was about to happen that never happened before. The Spirit of God, like breath, like wind, came roaring into that upper room and filled every empty vessel. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they all began to speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. It was a new thing. His Old Testament prophet had said, I'm going to do a new thing. He said, I'm going to put a new heart in you. I'm going to give you a new spirit. Praise God. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. It is because of the Lord's mercies. Everybody say it's because of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Somebody say they are new every morning. Shake your neighbor, say every day. God's stuff is new. His compassion is new. His mercy is new. His anointing is new. Your chance is renewed. The strength of God is new every morning. And he finishes by saying, great is thy faithfulness. He's more faithful than we are. Oh, let's clap our hands unto him. What a good God. What a good God. He is identified in Psalms in Revelation 22 as the bright and the morning star. I don't know how many of you get up early enough to see that morning star. But I mean, it's like a beacon there as nighttime bleeds into day. And there's a light there to guide us into that new day. And he takes that position. He takes that name. He says, I am the bright and the morning star. I want you to know that in the darkest hour, there's always a dawning that's coming. And he has taken up a position to say, I'm going to be a star out on the horizon of your darkest night. And in that star, I want you to know there's coming another day. There's always going to be another day. There's always going to be another sunrise. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Revelation 21 and 5, he said, behold, he said, look at this. I want you to look at this. I make all things new. Now, that's quite a statement. But he said, I make everything new. If you're sitting with a disaster in your life today, you need to know the word of God says, I make everything new. If you're sitting with a defeat in your hands this morning, you need to know God says, I make all things new. He says, behold, to get your attention. He says, listen to me. Look at this. Because some of you are so engrossed in that defeat and in that pain and in that problem, you can't look at anything else. But he says, behold! And you do. And he says, listen, I make everything new. I can make you new. I can make your house new. I can make your family new. I can make your lifestyle new. I can make a new mind. I can make a new heart. Does anybody experience that? Is this just words from somebody else? Is there a testimony in the house where you can say, my God, he made me all over again? Paul takes up the chorus and Paul begins to sing 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, everybody say he is a new creature. The word there can easily be translated creation. He is a new creation. It's just like the days of creation when God says, let there be. He overshadows the dark ruin of your life. And by spirit and by word and by light, he brings forth something brand new. Paul said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Now all things are passed away. Don't ever doubt that God can bury the old things. Don't ever question it. God can bury the old things. Don't think it's going to be a boat anchor around my life for the rest of my days. God said all things are passed away. Behold, look at it. Listen, he said, all things are become new, and they're all joining in a chorus, and they're all singing the same new song. They're all singing a song about new life and new beginnings and new joy and new mercies. Somebody say praise the Lord. Some promises are long in coming. Some promises are prophetic and they are time specific, or perhaps specific to Israel. They spent 400 years, 146,000 mornings in Egypt. But there did come a morning where they stood on the banks of the Red Sea and they saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. And Miriam took up her tambourine and they began to dance and sing. The horse and the rider are cast. It doesn't matter how long you've been bottled up. You need to wait on God, because if he spoke it, if God said it, if you've heard it in your spirit, if you found it in the word of God, God will bring it to pass in your life. You say, well, it didn't happen last year. My God, we're 1 year closer. It's They were out of the city for 2,000 years. They were out of the land for 2,000 years. They died in the gulags of Russia. They died in the death camps of Germany. They died at the hands of their adversaries and their friends. They've been shunted abroad all over the earth. 2,000 years later, the word of God, like a trumpet blast, called them back. And this morning, they've already had their New Year's over there. They're on a different calendar. But this morning, if you had walked up and down those ancient paved stone streets of Jerusalem, you would have heard Hebrew being spoken there, which was a dead language from a dead people who were scattered all over the earth. And their city was governed by Gentiles for 2,000 years. But there came a morning, there came a time, there came a place in prophecy where God brought it to pass in their life. And I'm telling you, if you can understand it and you have heard it and you found it in the Word of God, God will bring it to pass in your life. Don't you let the devil tell you to give up your hope. Don't you let the enemy tell you to become a pessimist or a cynic. You stand on the promise of God. My God, if God can bring Israel back from the four corners of the earth, God can take care of my little life. If God can bring Israel out of 400 years of bondage in Egypt, God can change my little circumstance. Somebody ought to shout about it just a little. Somebody ought to clap their hands just a little. My God, God's doing it in my life right now. God's promise is working in my life right now. God's goodness is moving in me right now. Shake somebody, say, the promise is working in me right now. My God, turn to somebody else, shake them and say, the goodness of God is making it happen in my life right now. Does anybody believe there's a miracle working in your life right now? That there's a miracle in your destiny right now? Come on, in my next week, in my next month, I don't know exactly when it's going to happen, but God's promised it. God's going to bring it to pass. God, I believe him. The promise of God is only good to that one who will lay hold of it. Lay claim to it. Take possession of it. And say it is mine. A lot of people touched him that day. But there was just one that pressed through the crowd. And the miracle broke forth. This promise is laid out here for the whole world. And it's true. But the determining factor is my response. Praise God. Praise God. I want to have a biblical mindset, a Davidic mindset. Psalms 27 is awesome. David sounds like an army marching. The host should camp against me. He makes grandiose statements like, I shall fear no evil. When my enemies gather around me to eat up my flesh, he said, they're just going to stumble and fall. I mean, he's full of confidence. But at the end of the psalm, he says, I would have fainted, except I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He said, I might sound pretty confident, but my confidence is in him. I may sound like I'm pretty brass, but my confidence is in him. I want to have a biblical mindset. I want to believe to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Consequently, when you're struggling, I'm not going to join with those that will throw you away, because I know what God can do. I know what God can do. I don't know what the time frame is. I don't know how many times you'll stumble. I don't know how many times you'll fall. But I do know if you've got the mentality to keep on getting up, I'm going to join with you and I'm going to say, I believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Somebody's going to live for God. Somebody's coming to get the Holy Ghost. Somebody's going to go down in the water in Jesus' name. Some lame man's going to get up and dance again. I believe it, Brother Jimmy. You believe it?
Amen.
You say, well, it hadn't happened in 19 years with Brother Jimmy. Brother Jimmy's not the only lame man in the world. I read about him in the Word of God. If it happened to everybody, it wouldn't be a miracle. Just by the logical process, it doesn't happen to some. It went. Praise God. I mean, you got to reconcile verses like God's going to bless you and fill your storehouse, and the fact that the poor you will have with you always. Somebody in this crowd's got the moniker of being the blessed. And somebody's been blessed by being the poor. That's my calling. But whatever you're calling, you need to walk in it. Lay claim to it. Give God glory in it. I appreciate Brother Jimmy. He never does fall off into that pessimistic hole. Every time I talk to him, he talks about the goodness of God and the faithfulness of God and the healing power of God. I stand in awe. Praise God. I believe to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. That means here. I know there's going to be a lot of good on the other side, but I believe to see it here. I believe we're going to see some healings here. I believe we're going to see the miracle here. I believe we're going to have a move of God here. I believe this city's going to see the revival God has planned for it right here. I want a biblical mentality. I believe in new beginnings, brand new in the morning. I believe in God breaking loose in our midst. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. Shake your neighbor's hand and tell them, I believe to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Come on, clap your hands unto him and bless you. Bless him. Praise. A David mindset. Paul and David are brothers in this spirit, although separated by 1,000+ years. Philippians 3 and 13. And the apostle says, this one thing I do. Everybody hold up that finger and say, this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind. Now, I want you to think about that for a little bit. I got to forget that you stole my money. I got to forget that you hurt my feelings. I got to forget that you backed into my new car. I got to forget everything you said about me and are still saying about me. I got to forget every time I helped you and you failed. I've got to forget all the things that are behind. Forgetting the, come on now, you can't get into a new year dragging last year with you. You can't do it. Your dreams are going to sink. Your hopes are going to capsize. Your fire is going to go out. You can't have a vibrant spiritual experience in 06 if you're dragging the past. You can't even have a good relationship in your family if every time you get into a little dispute, you drag out all the past. Counseling 101 is, where are we? Where do we want to go? And how do we get there? But you don't know about, well, no, we don't deal with that. Because I'm not having killings in my office. But why don't we deal with that? Because we can't deal with that. It's past. It's gone. And we can't get to tomorrow, dragging today in the back. Do you believe Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today? Do you believe he can take care of your yesterdays? Give it to him. He's God yesterday. He's the God over my yesterdays. You know what? If there needs to be vengeance, let him do the avenging. If there's a payback, let him do the paying back. If there's a judgment to be made, let him be the judge. And you go on into your dream. You go on into your tomorrow. Praise God. Forgetting those things which are behind, I press. I reach forth to those things that are before. Praise God. Why aren't you worried about everything that happened in the past? I can't worry about that. I'm too busy reaching. I see the bright and morning star. I see the new beginning. I see the new hope. I see the new promise of God. I don't have time for all that. And if all you do is hang around with people that spend their time talking about past, you're going to live in the past. You need to find yourself a friend that talks about tomorrow. You need to find yourself somebody that can strengthen you in your dream. Well, praise God. Praise God. I press. Everybody say, I press. It's not easy. Say, I press. It takes energy. Say, I press. If you just relax and float, you're going downstream. Living for God is swimming against the stream. Living for God is pressing and striving and pushing and shoving and working and warring. The language of the scripture is all very active, proactive, concerning those that would live for God. You can't just sit and let it happen to you and be a reactive bundle every day of your life. But you've got to own purpose, make decisions, set goals, see something off in the future, and make your way to it. Praise God. I press toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. On the day that he was to bring them out of Egypt, he said, Moses, I want you to start a brand new calendar. He said, let this be the first month of months to you. He said, what I'm about to do is so excellent, so powerful. I want to start time all over again. He said, we're going to change the calendar. You're not going to live by that old Egyptian calendar. But you're going to have a brand new calendar. You're going to have a brand new life. Praise God. And that coming out of Egypt typifies our coming out of sin and out of the world and coming unto God. And when you get ready to come to God, God says, we're going to start all over again. We're going to start the whole thing all over again. Not just a new man, but a new calendar. Nicodemus wants to talk to Jesus about theology. And Jesus is like a granite wall. He just says, you got to be born again. John 3 and 5. Nicodemus has been saying, I know you're a teacher sent by God. Nobody can do what you're doing except he's sent by God. He says, I want to talk theology with you. And Jesus says, you got to be born again. And Nicodemus doesn't get it. How can a man be born again when he is old? Can I enter again into my mother's womb and be born? But that's not what he's talking about. He said, listen, I'm going to break it down to its elemental parts for you here, Nicodemus. I'm going to make it simple for you. You must be born of the water. And that, everybody say, that's baptism. And he said, you must be born of the Spirit. And everybody say, that's the Holy Ghost. He said, you got to start again. I don't care if you've got a PhD in theology. You've got to start again. I don't care if you're 90 years old. You've got to start again. I don't care if you've been in church all your life. You got to start all over again. I don't care if you're the deacon and the head of the board and on the pulpit committee and on the whatever kind of committees you have there. I don't care if you're on all those committees. You got to start all over again. If you're a preacher, you got to start all over again. That's exactly what Jesus is telling them. It's not only that there is a new beginning, it's mandatory. A new beginning is mandatory. Oh, yeah, well, come on in here, get the Holy Ghost, get baptized, and sit down here in the middle of this pew and bring all your junk with you. You won't last, and you won't prosper, and you won't have victory, and you won't have joy. You'll just be the same old stick-in-the-mud, grumpy pants that you were when you walked in here, and the Holy Ghost can't change anything you won't give to him. I'm sorry, Sister Cynthia. Freaks her out when I walk on the chairs. She was raised right. You can't bring your old past in here. Holy Ghost won't do. Well, I got the Holy Ghost and it didn't do me any good. You can have a Lincoln in your garage, but you don't use it. You can have $1 million in your bank, but if you won't spend it, you won't let that Holy Ghost do you any good. It won't do you any good. Coming to church won't do you. And you can't bring all the junk from the past with you. You got to start again. It's not an option. You must be born again. Oh, go ahead. Clap your hands to it. Is there anybody glad that you are born again? Anybody glad that you got a new start? Anybody glad that you got 10 new starts? Anybody glad that God gave you 100 new chances? Praise God. Praise God. Jesus teaches this in literal and in figurative terms. He said to the crowd, you can't put new wine in old bags. You can't do it. Well, you can, but you lose your new wine. The new wine is the Holy Ghost experience, the redemptive power of God in your life. He said, if you put the new wine in an old bag, you'll lose it. So all you'll be there is just sitting on the pew, an old bag. Turn up the thermostat. Turn down the thermostat. Turn up the music. Turn down the music. Wish they'd get these black people out of here. Wish they wouldn't let these Latinos come in here. I wish this place had fewer white folks in it. My God, you're just an old bag just sitting there with all that old stuff in you. And that Holy Ghost has run out the bottom of your sack. Was it real? Yeah, it was real. Was it the Holy Ghost? It was the Holy Ghost. But you can't put new wine in old bags because they're already stretched out. They won't stretch. And the Holy Ghost doesn't want to take you like you are. He wants to stretch you. Well, I've been this way all my life. You can't stay that way. If you bring that old bag in there, you're going to rupture. It's going to run out. We've had Holy Ghost hit in the altar and run right out the back door. I've been in churches where there's nothing but old bags sitting on the pews. I just happened to be back here. I didn't. Am I in trouble? Praise God. It is mandatory, Brother Jimmy, that you have a new bag. Somebody ought to write a song about that. These young people won't know that. That's out of the old hymnal. 147, Papa's got a brand new bag. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Mark chapter 16, he said, these signs are going to follow them that believe. They shall, everybody say, they shall speak with new tongues. God's going to give you a new language. And if you think that means you won't curse anymore, you never read the book of Acts. They all talked in tongues. If you come close to God, you're going to leave talking in a language you never learned in school. A new bag, new tongues, a new start, a new song for a new year. David said, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet on a rock, and established my goings. There's structure in the kingdom of God. You can't go the way you want. You got to start all over again. You can't live the way you've been living. I know there's pulpits all over town that'll tell you, just believe in Jesus, and you're all right. And you can shotgun your mama and live any old kind of sexually immoral life you want to live and do drugs and drink like a fish. You can do any of those things. Just believe. Listen, James clarifies this so startlingly. He said the devil believes. It's obvious you got to do more than believe. You say, well, that's what the whole world believes. Well, Not, that started with the Protestant Reformation. That started 1,500 years after the main event. You need to go on back in history. For a fact, lay down all the man-made history and pick up the biblical history. And you'll find that they had to trade their old life for a new life. They had to give up their ways for God establishing their ways and their goings. Praise God. You mean their structure and living for God? Yeah, God will tell you where you can and cannot go. The Word of God will tell you how you can live and how you cannot live. Legalism! Burn them! My God, you can't drive on either side of the road you want to drive on. You think you're going to get to heaven and God's not going to tell you how to drive, how to live, how to walk, how to treat people, what you can and cannot do? You think you're going to live in the middle of this perverse generation and look like them and act like them and love what they love and be right with God? A new beginning. A new bag. Praise God. He said, he heard me, set my feet on a rock, established my goings. And everybody say, he put a new song in my mouth. Even praise unto my God. Praise God. Now you got praise in your mouth. Now you got joy in your heart. Now you're not. And we know you got the goods because now you're not complaining about the boss. Now you're not griping about the old lady. Now you're not griping about the old man. Now you're not griping about the government and the taxes. You're too busy loving God and being happy in God, because my joy doesn't come from my natural or secular or social or political or economic surrounds. But my joy comes from that wellspring of the Holy Ghost that I have down inside. Praise God. Is that all right, Eric? That's all right. Praise God. A new song, praise unto my God. And you can't sing the old song and the new song at the same time. You can't sing, oh, woe is me, and I praise you, Jesus. You be schizophrenic. You can't do that. You can't do that. All you can sing is one or the other. And that's a choice you got to make. What do you choose? I choose to praise God. I'm going to praise God. My wife's been treating me bad again, Brother Sutton. Well, praise God, brother. Just praise God. You picked her. Well, I'm not going to go off into that for want of time. But it's amazing what a good example will do in a household. From anybody. It's amazing what one dynamite-filled, on-fire child of God can do in any house. Praise God. You can't sing both songs. Praise God. I saw a man the other night. He said, I can't sing the blues. He's too happy. He's smiling. He's got too many good things in his life. He can't take up a career as a blues singer. My God. Smile real big at your neighbor and say, I got the blues. See, you can't do it. You can't pull it off. You got to look real rough and sad. Like you crawled up out of the south side of Chicago from under a bus or something to sing the blues. You can't be happy in God and sing that. My God. David said he put a new song in my heart. Praise unto my God. And he said, everybody say, many shall see it. Now turn to your neighbor and say, when you really praise God, people can see it. You can't sit there and say, well, I'm praising him in my heart. No. The Bible says, clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. Make a loud noise unto the Lord. The Word of God said, praise him on stringed instruments. Praise him on high-sounding cymbals. Praise him on loud cymbals. The Bible said, I can run through a troop, leap over a wall. The Word of God said, praise him with a timbrel and praise him in the dance. My God. David said, many shall see it. And they did. David used to dance down Main Street with all of his might. And his wife hated it, but he didn't care. Take that. He said, many shall see it and fear. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, when you really worship God, it's scary. Scares the devil. Scares the carnal. Scares the old bag. A new song for a new year. Many shall see it and shall fear and shall trust in the Lord. As we start a new year, one of the most dynamic things you're going to do in terms of the harvest and in terms of glorifying God by bearing much fruit is to live this thing with a smile on your face, with hope in your heart, not so covered up with your problems that you can't be what God called you to be, and that's a minister to other people. Hallelujah. God put us here in this condition so we could say, I know what you're feeling. I know what your pain is. But watch how you walk in this. You can have a God that'll lift you up in the middle of your trouble. I know what it feels like to go to the graveyard, but let me show you what God can do. I know what it feels like to go through a divorce, but let me show you what God can do. I know what it feels like to have an abusive wife or husband, but let me show you what God can do. I know what it's like to not have a mom or a dad in the church, but let me show you what victory looks like. Somebody say praise the Lord. We've got a calling for 2006, and that involves the salvation of a city. And God's given us purpose, and God's given us a new song for a new year. Somebody say praise the Lord. I want you to lift up your hands right now, and I want you to just pray earnestly that God would anoint you to be used to sing a new song, to touch a life, to teach a Bible study, to have an effective witness, to shake that place you're working on, going to school. Hallelujah. 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 While you're in the middle of this, I want you to target your prayer time. Target some prayer time for this week. Church is going to be open at 6 in the morning and 7 every night. Fasting will be available to you Monday through Friday. Go ahead and pick some times, target some times on purpose. Make a commitment so you don't crawfish on this in the middle of the week. Tell God what you're going to do. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's let everybody come down around the altar. Let's do that right now. If you're first to come up, take a step or two up. Make room for those in the light. God, if you need the Holy Ghost, you can have it in this house today.
Oh, we're going up.
Sister Avery's mom's about to go down in the water in Jesus' name.
We're going up. We're going up to the high place.
Oh, we're going up.
We're going up to the high place.
We're gonna tear,
tear the devil's kingdom down.
Somebody give him praise.
To the high places, tear the devil's kingdom down.
Praise the Lord. Brother Robert, what you going to do in 2006?
Amen. I'm going to be a better witness. I'm going to be a more effective minister for the kingdom of God. And amen, in 2006, my little brother is going to come and he's going to live for God. Amen.
Praise the Lord, Martin. What you going to do in 2006?
Oh, I just want to pray God. I want to fill that bus and bring more kids to the church. Amen.
Now listen, in 2006, we're going to fill up that bus. We're going to buy another one and we're going to fill it up. Let me try that in English. We're going to fill up that bus in 2006. We're going to buy another one and we're going to fill that one up too. Beginning in the spring, we're going to see moms and dads of those kids receiving the Holy Ghost in these altars. By August or September, we're going to start a Spanish service at 2 o'clock here on Sunday afternoons. Not going to start a Spanish church. We're going to start a Spanish service. Because when they get the Holy Ghost, they get baptized in Jesus' name. We're going to teach them to speak English and we're going to assimilate them into the house of God. Because we don't want a bunch of separate churches. We're not going to start a white church just for you. Somebody say praise the Lord. 2006.
I'm going to herald that this place is a house of healing and deliverance and restoration.
Sister Bonnie.
Yeah. In 2006, I want God to use me in a mighty way. I want to be a soul winner.
Hey.
I want to see the kingdom of God. I want this house full of people. And I'm believing it in the name of Jesus.
Fill the house. Brother Dimitri, 2006.
I'm going to praise the Lord unconditionally, the same way as He loves us.
Praise the Lord.
I'm looking forward to my lifestyle and the way I live to bring people into the house of God, into the kingdom of God.
All right. Praise the Lord. Sing. Somebody's getting baptized.
We're going up to the high place.
We're going.
song for a new year.
I'm proud of this church like it is, but you know, God said we got to go high. And I thank God for who he is, you know. I'm proud of the variety of people, but we still lack somebody of Asian descent in this house. So in 2006, we're going to put it out there. We're going to really go after those of Asian descent and see what God will do in this house. For one thing, we sowed the seed that we sowed when they came back from Vietnam. God did send us one in here to baptize. And he said, Ken, if you want more, do more. So we're going to try to get together and see what we can do with some more seeds and see what he can do with blessing this house with somebody amazing to see. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, this has been a wonderful year. We thank God for all those who have received the Holy Ghost. Notable things are too numerous to mention this morning. But I want to thank God for Brother Lou. I believe something's going to open up on the campus of UAB here. Brother Lou's our first person from the Congo to ever receive the Holy Ghost here. And we want to thank God for Elena's little buddy from Vietnam that got the Holy Ghost in the altar a few weeks ago. I really do believe God wants to touch every nation, every tongue, every class and people, group of people. Somebody say praise the Lord. God bless you. Happy New Year. So good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. We want to thank God for pouring out the Holy Ghost on Sister Avery's mom here. First one for the year. Praise God.
Praise the Lord, saints. My mother was diagnosed with cancer in her right lobe, and we went to the doctor, and the doctor did confirm. I saw it myself on the x-ray where the cancer was. And the thing about it is this: sometimes when you get bad news, it's not really bad news. You know, like if I break my leg and I can't walk anymore, that's different. But if I break my leg and I can get my bones severed back together, then that's bad news, but it's also good news. But the good thing about my mother is this, that the cancer that she has is isolated. It means that she had it for 4 months and it never ever even spread it. So I thank God for that. Even in the midst of hearing bad news and going through a bad way sometimes, but God. It's always but God. But God. God can take care of anything. I've learned to trust him over the years of my life. I've been through a lot, you know, and I always say that it wasn't me who bought myself out. It's always but God. If God is never first, then you'll never win. And I thank God that I'm on the winning side. I also thank God for this church. And one thing I like about this church is this, the love that's in the people here. That's what draw people here. When you got love in your heart for people, you can draw a multitude. And I thank God for this church. I thank God for the pastor's wife. I thank God for the pastor, because our family was received here with love. Be blessed.
Praise the Lord. We do not have service here this evening. It's still a time of fellowship, family and friends, and we're getting together all over the church family with out-of-town relatives and all kinds of different situations. So have yourself a wonderful evening, and remember, prayer and fasting begins tomorrow and tomorrow night, and I'll see you on Wednesday. God bless you. The singles fellowship is 6:30 here at the church. And the new calendars are in the foyer.
God, once again, we come into your presence.